I'm Nathan.
And I'm Emily. And this is Twice as Less Not Perfect,
a messy marriage podcast. We're here to get real with you about the fun and the flaws,
the grief and the gratitude,
the mirth and the myth of marriage.
We all know that partnerships are powerful, but they're also pretty messy. And getting to the good stuff can take a lot of trial and error.
So join us while we talk about our mistakes and the lessons we've learned about relationships.
So far.
Because it's not always perfect.
But it's usually worth it. Here we go. I've got my drink.
I've got my drink.
It's a mimosa.
It's a mimosa.
With grapefruit. A grape mimosa.
A grape mimosa.
We're already drunk.
Pamplemousse.
We're doing it.
All right.
Hey.
Hey, everyone.
All the hard work is done.
Yep.
We got our studio set up. This is our podcast.
Yeah.
It's called... Dun, da, da, na.
Twice as less not perfect.
That's right. You heard it. It's long. It doesn't make any sense. Like marriage.
Yeah, exactly. So my name is Nathan, and I am joined by my wife.
Your wife, Emily. And we're the Nathan and Emily's.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what
we're
here
to tell you everything we know about marriage.
And don't know, which is a lot.
Also don't know. Also are still figuring out.
Absolutely. So I guess we should start by talking about why we're creating a podcast.
Why
about
anything?
About, you know, marriage, you know?
Why marriage?
What does it matter?
Why podcasts?
Yeah.
Why podcasts about marriage?
Yeah.
And so I guess the idea came about some point during this endless quarantine.
Yes.
Because as you know, we are all staying inside.
Yes. All of us are staying inside.
We're all doing our part.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all social distancing.
As best we can.
Like respectful, considerate, responsible citizens of the world.
Yes. That's what we're doing.
That's what every single person on this planet is doing right now, particularly America, I would say.
I have a confession. I've been sneaking out at night and breathing into people's faces. But other than that,
where are these people you're fighting?
You know.
We have a sleepy neighborhood.
Sleepy neighborhood.
We were out for a walk because it's one of the few things we can do. And we love our evening walks. They range anywhere from a mile and a half to 6 miles.
Depending on how aggravated we're feeling that day.
Yeah, and the speed in which we walk varies depending on the frustration
indeed.
Of the day. But one thing that came up was this idea, and it's something that I've been thinking about for a really long time, is the expectations versus the reality of a partnership, marriage, or if you're not married, a long-term partnership with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that... We've been married 9 years now. We just had an anniversary recently.
Yeah, we did.
9 years.
We're still here.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. It's happening.
Even in quarantine.
Every day, love.
Every day. But that when you go through something really hard in your marriage, you can speak to a counselor, absolutely, and we highly recommend it. We've done it.
It's awesome.
We should continue to do it. But that... Sometimes I found that it's difficult to speak about your marriage to other people.
Right.
To other married people, to single people. I think because there's this idea that if you're in a good marriage, you're either in a good marriage or you're in a bad marriage.
Right. And if you're talking about how it's not going well, then that must mean your marriage is bad. And if you're not talking about it, how it's going badly, it must be going great.
Well, and by talking about it, I always felt this fine line of like, I need to talk about what I'm going through. I can't always talk about it with my partner, but I want to be respectful to my partner and not divulge any, you know, information that they wouldn't, you know, allow or feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But I guess I just sort of realized how taboo talking about, especially Like, it's one thing when we were dating, I guess, and we could talk about my, I could talk about my boyfriend, or I could talk about this guy I'm seeing, and it was, I could be more candid. I didn't feel as, I don't want to say judged, but there's just a different level of expectation, and it felt taboo. It felt like when I was talking about struggles in my marriage that I shouldn't, I either shouldn't be having them.
Right.
Or I shouldn't be talking about them. And I resisted that a lot because it helped me quite a bit to talk through my issues. And I mean, it helped us even more to speak to a counselor. So we wanted to start this podcast, A, because we have a lot of extra time on our hands right now. We decided to invest in some recording equipment, just some basic stuff. We're in our semi-professional setup in our basement right now. And we just, you know, we thought we'd give it a go and just talk about the questions that have come up for us over the years, the things we're still working out, the systems that work for us, the times that bring us the most joy, and the lessons we wish we had learned before.
Yeah. So we really want to take this opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to each other, and by talking to each other about the things we've learned, let other people have some insight into what other couples go through and how those things aren't taboo, and those expectations not only need to be uncovered and discussed, but sometimes they need to be renegotiated completely. And that, you know, we, and talk about the advice we got that was good. Talk about the advice we got that was great. Talk about the advice we got that was just god awful.
Talk about examples we had.
Yeah,
we had absolutely. Some great examples from our parents and other folks that we grew up around.
Yeah.
Of what a great relationship is like. And by the way, this applies to all relationships, in no matter your identity or sexual orientation or any of that. This is just about partnerships and two people making it work because they love each other.
Absolutely.
Love is love, y'all.
Love is love.
So, let's talk about, okay, just to like clear up, because I'm sure everybody's wondering, waiting with bated breath, nails biting, how the name of the podcast happened. Nobody cares. And they won't care when they hear it either.
Yeah. Well, it's twice as less not
so
perfect.
So we were talking with our roommate because we have a roommate here in our house, a good friend of ours, Nicole, and she's a really talented artist and awesome person all around. But we were talking about this idea and, you know, all the things we just said to you all about how it's taboo and we want to kind of like dispel some of the myths and like just be open books. About our relationships and how like people have this idea that marriage is perfect. And
so it's going to be perfect.
It's going to be perfect, or it has to be perfect.
Yeah.
So Nicole was saying, you know, everybody has this idea. It has to be perfect. And I said, yeah, it's, but what the reality is, it's actually twice as less, not perfect. I don't know what came out of my mouth. I think that's what it was. But I think what I was trying to say was,
we have two people are not perfect. And so if you have two people who are both not perfect, you're twice as less not perfect.
Yeah. You're the math teacher, so you work it out.
So you're just twice as less not perfect. It's just you've amplified.
We spent like 20 minutes putting that into an equation, and it was really, it was perfect.
It's not math.
It was
so still twice as less not perfect. So That's the idea, is that two people together aiming for perfection are going to be twice as flawed because they're going to bring their flaws together. Mm-hmm. And so we are actually coming into it from a place of we have double the flaws to deal with, and we have to try to work together to overcome those. And that's really what marriage is about. So to highlight this idea, we're going to talk about sort of our initial ideas about what marriage was going to be. So we just, like Emily said, we just passed the 9-year mark like last week, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
The 27th.
9 years married. And how we typically celebrate, we have like sort of this little tradition that we always do is wherever we are, We are not always together on our anniversary. I travel for work a lot. Emily performs in all around the country with different theaters. So we don't always have the luxury of being together on our anniversary. So wherever we are, we always read our vows to each other. And if that's only one of us has them in front of us, we always go back and we do that. We've done that every year. So what we're going to do is we're going to read those vows to you. So be ready because, oh, they're good.
For the record, we did not do individual vows like from the heart.
Correct.
Like, I, Emily, agree to never pick my nose in front of you. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because I would never vow that. But that we created the same words, you know,
together.
I think some of them came from my mom at one point was ordained with the Universal Life Church. Is that the one where you like certify,
Let's
get certified
yes.
online? And she marries people. She didn't marry us. She just watched us get married because she's my mom. So she shouldn't have to work on my wedding day. But
right.
She created some of these for us, for other people. I don't know. It was a mix
of things,
a collage,
inspirations, a moosh boosh of poems, and
the moose bush is a palate cleanser.
Isn't that what marriage is? Just one 9-year long palate cleanser.
Well, in preparation for
the main course?
The main course, death.
I don't know. Death.
So we have some words of promise. And then also some other words from Walt Whitman's Song for the Open Road,
mm-hmm.
towards the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, how do you want to do this? You want to go back and forth?
We're gonna read them.
Okay,
and then we're gonna break it down like a section at a time and think about like what we thought then versus what that means now. Did that change in 9 years? Does our understanding of these vows change or not apply or look different to us than it did then?
Cool. You want to start?
You want to start? I'll start.
Go ahead.
Why not? Okay.
I still have mimosa.
The vows. Okay.
Don't screw it up.
I'm not gonna do mm-hmm. it perfectly. I'm gonna pretend I'm back on the pier in Long Island City.
That's where we married. It was cute.
Yeah, married. It was great. Okay. I promise to honor you as an intelligent individual, to strive always to inspire and encourage you, and to learn and grow together in harmony. I promise to hold always in my heart and soul the passion I now have for you, to love you fully and completely, to laugh with you and cry with you honestly and in perfect trust and love. I promise to be steadfast in my devotion to you, to be a rock of strength, to always love and honor you, to build a home and family full of love, and to be both freed and bound by our love for as long as we both shall live. I give you my hand. I give you my love more precious than money. I give you myself before preaching or law. Will you give me yourself? Will you come travel with me? Shall we stick by each other as long as we live? Right? I know.
The end.
Wow.
That's all you need.
I mean, I feel it.
And our work was done.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we said those words 9 years ago and
that was it.
It was just smooth sailing.
So, how about Emily? You go ahead and read that first section, and we'll just what does that mean? What do we think it meant then, and what does it mean now?
I love your pulling out your teacher.
Stop
right now.
Don't
no,
call
I love
me
it.
On my pedagogy.
No, I love it so much. It makes me so happy. It's hot. Mm. Okay. So this first little section. I promise to honor you as an intelligent individual, to strive always to inspire and encourage you, and to learn and grow together in harmony. Well, that's big. That's loaded.
That's a big one.
Let's start with the first section, the intelligent individual part.
Oh, man. I think in the beginning, I think I felt that should be a no-brainer, right? I feel like that should just be an obvious thing
mm-hmm.
that I should honor you as an intelligent individual because, you know, if I thought someone wasn't an intelligent individual, I probably wouldn't want to be with that person.
Mm.
And So that seemed to me initially, that just goes without saying, of course I'm going to honor you as an intelligent person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to value that and I'm going to lean on it. And that's kind of what I thought about it in the beginning.
Yeah. I would say the same, that it was like, well, duh.
Right.
Of course I am. Like, you're smart. Yeah, I'm smart.
I'm smart. We've got it all figured out. Of course. But now when I think about intelligence and what that means, when I'm looking across the room at somebody else who I'm in this relationship with, is like, intelligence does not mean agreement. And intelligence does not mean that intelligence is always going to match what my perception of what we should do or how we should do things is going to go. And that part of honoring your intelligence is believing and trusting in the fact that you've also done the due diligence to think about it and think about it and thought through your own thought process, and you are coming to me expecting me to do the same. So it comes with honoring the fact that we're both going to do the work in our thought process and our mind before we bring something to the table to discuss. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, it's something I didn't understand. It was just something I took for granted, but it takes, honoring someone's intelligence takes trust in what that intelligence is.
I like that. I think just like really, if I were to break this, all of this down, what's interesting to me about, I promise to honor you as an intelligent individual, I think feels simple.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like, I respect you, I honor you, you're intelligent. I love that. Love it. And I'll always love it. And that's true. But I think what it also comes with is a degree of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to scrutinize oneself and one's instincts sometimes. Sometimes I have the tendency to react defensively because I'm feeling less intelligent or less educated about a certain subject. And you may come with a statement, a fact, or an opinion based off of your background, intelligence, your whole blueprint of life, you mm-hmm. know, meeting you in that moment. And because of my whole life leading to that moment, I sometimes want to behave in a defensive way. I want to react defensively and sort of deny, not accept what was just said to me, but sort of push back against it. And so when it says, I promise to honor you as an intelligent individual, it's meeting you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than meeting you where I am or where everything in my past leads me to be in this moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, your intelligence is informed not just by, and we get caught in this idea of like, it's book smarts, it's your education, it's all these things, but your intelligence is informed, you know, by so many things, your world experience, your experience with the social world, your friends, your family, your faith, all those things are informing your quote unquote intelligence much more than, you know, your IQ or your degree or your area of study. That's the last part of intelligence that we're even talking about. Like, that's really like a non-factor in this discussion is like, well, what was your GPA?
I always ask.
She always asks.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And if, you know, we ever come to loggerheads, I always just pop out the old GPA and, you know, that ends that discussion.
Yeah. Usually. I don't remember my GPA, so I can't bring that to the table. Also, to strive always to inspire and encourage you. That's the next part.
In the second paragraph? Or is that the same paragraph?
It's all the same. I promise to honor you as an intelligent individual, to strive always to inspire and encourage you, and to learn and grow together in harmony. I guess we should like move a little quicker through these things, but that was a lot.
That's just the first paragraph. Like, woo. Yeah. Whole lot going on in there.
I mean, and it all just feels like pretty words. I mean, really, when you're 20, how old are we? Six?
26?
Something.
It felt adorable.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Really inspired.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's a little harder to continuously encourage someone who, like maybe Nate, you can speak to this. My career is in the theater, and a lot of my job is rejection, you know? I go out to the audition, I put my heart and soul in it, and they go a different direction, which happens to more people than it doesn't, because it's a very competitive field. And so, and there's a lot of, like, you know, agonizing over where the next paycheck's going to be, what my next job's going to be like. Is it fulfilling? Because it's also art and, you know, all of that. And all the, you know, like, how do I make a living? How do I keep my insurance? All of this stuff, right? Yeah. It's just, it can be very frustrating and hard. And especially when we were living in New York.
Yeah.
It was extra deflating. The constant rejection and the pounding the pavement and the auditioning and the classes and all this output and nothing to fuel the tank. And Nate was really, like, has always been there to encourage me through that. And, like, did you expect any of that
when
you got married?
I think it was more the idea, like, you know, encouraging people to do the things they want, you know, that they enjoy, that they appreciate, and encouraging people to get through the hard things is one thing, but inspiration is a hard thing to get other people when it's not your thing. You know, like, there are times, like, where you get the job, but the job's not necessarily great, or, you know, it's encouraging to be hired, it's encouraging to have the project or the thing that you're doing, but it's not always inspiring, you know? So I think always being that outside presence to say, like, no, what you're doing is important. What you're doing has value. And I know you're bogged down in the mechanics of it and the minutiae and all the aggravating things about the good thing. How important that is to highlight, you know, that no matter how inspiring something is, there's parts about it that are going to be discouraging, and that makes us lose the inspiration. So focusing on, like, on finding the inspiration within challenging things that while they're exciting and they're opportunities that are good and valuable, that's not easy. And that takes a long time to figure out, is like, what buttons to push for somebody that's going to really, like, help them tap into that, that inspiring part. And it's not just about, like, I'm going to inspire you to go start that new business today. It's not, yes, you can
do
that.
It's not so simple as to say, well, you should do that.
Yeah. Like, how do you keep going?
You should start a podcast.
I'm feeling uninspired by the thing I love today. How do we inspire each other when the thing we love is not inspiring love or excitement?
Yeah.
You know?
One thing I'll say in a way that you have been the most inspiring to me, just in a, you know, nutshell, over the course of the 9 years, the nine long, long...
Arduous. Would you say arduous?
Years
never ending.
is your ability to self-reflect and to work on yourself. It's interesting. I would say 4 or 5 years ago, we started getting into some bumpy road.
Ah.
Bumpy
were we
road.
Four-wheeling? Maybe.
Maybe four-wheeling in a Prius.
Do we break
Prius.
An axle? Perhaps.
We might have been in a Prius. or a what? Like a VW? Like a Golf?
In on a...
like a Geo Prism.
Dragged by a horse.
But we'll get into that all later. We have plenty of time in other episodes. But we went through counseling and we did a lot to work on each other and ourselves as a unit, as a couple. But what Nate did, which I admire so much and was really inspiring to me, was that he took the work we did together in counseling, and he was inspired on his own to work on himself. And he read a lot of books and he listened to a lot of podcasts and he did some really, really hard work that we all should be doing at any given moment in our lives. That's just very hard because when you get to be a certain age, it's a lot is going on. You're busy with your job or kids or whatever. And it's really easy to be complacent. It's really easy to kind of believe that this is who I am now and my work is done. But it's also really easy to get into and solidify some really bad habits. Mm-hmm. And Nate took a big old objective scan of himself from top to bottom and inside and out and found places he wanted to work on. And watching him go through the work, put in the work and evolve and develop into this human being that was so much more than the man I married. And I married a really awesome guy, but he learned a lot and brought all of that to the marriage in a way that I was completely baffled by. It was astounding. And and he still does it. And so that really inspired me to find meaning outside of the thing I am so desperately seeking meaning from. Because I have grown up in the theater. My family was involved in theater. It's the only thing I've ever really wanted to do with my life. It, for a while, I identified myself as a performer, as an actor. That's all I am. I don't know who I am without it, right? And the last few years, as I've watched Nate do this work, I realize I have a lot of work to do. Mm. And I can no longer rely on identifying myself with my career because that will ultimately always be a disappointment. And I think that's true for a relationship too. You can't always identify yourself as someone's wife,
yeah,
or someone's partner or someone's everything. Mm-hmm. Because it's doing yourself a disservice. It's doing the partnership a disservice, whether it's a partnership with another person or with your career. And really, it's about doing the work for yourself. Mm-hmm. So like when I was talking about intelligence, honoring you as an intelligent individual, well, first I have to deal with the fact that I get defensive for some reason. Like that's my thing. That's not your thing. That's mine. And so I have to do... I think that was the thing I've learned is the work that you have to do on yourself in order to.
And it comes back to that idea you said too about, you know, these were pretty words and pretty words sound inspiring. But, you know, I've not quite ever heard you say it that way. I'm quite touched, actually. But just that idea that's like, you know, the most inspirational thing I've done in our marriage has not been words. It's been work. And it wasn't...
And you're really good with words,
And it wasn't work.
He is.
It wasn't working with you. It wasn't working to help you. It was just working. I'm going to take these set of actions in my control, and I'm going to deal with those. And those actions done in a way that's not about trying to put anything on the other person. It's not about trying to say, well, if I do this, then they'll feel they need to do the same, or they're going to come along with me. I'm just going to do the things I know I need to do to so that I bring a more complete and full and honest person to the table who's more able to engage in this work of making a marriage honestly and openly. That will cause more inspiration than I think anything else you could do, really, right?
I agree.
So that's one paragraph.
Okay. Okay. We'll move on to the next one because there's like six little sections.
There's a little bit.
I promise to hold always in my heart and soul the passion I now have for you, to love you fully and completely, to laugh with you and cry with you honestly and in perfect trust and love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's another one. Loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded, right?
I promise to hold always in my heart and soul the passion I now have for you.
We're just staring at each other with large eyes, like, what do we do?
Everyone's listening.
Everyone's listening.
That can be harder than you want it to be. I mean, everybody says it's not always sunshine and rainbows, but like, it can be really hard to hold passion and love for someone who you just want to like tear their eyes out.
Yeah. But one would argue that that is a type of passion in and of itself.
It's true.
Right. So I think so often we think about passion as like, you know, like, oh, my love for this person, I'm going to love them. I'm going to want them all the time. And that passion is equal parts, I desire you, but equal parts, I desire the promise of what we said we were going to do together. And when that's not happening, that makes one passionate in another way, angry, frustrated. And I will say, like, as a kid growing up, that I did not grow up in a place where one let their passions out or put those passions out on a plate for the world to see. If you were angry about something, you went away until you were ready to like come back as a calm, rational person. And while
we didn't do that.
Yeah,
we were very passionate.
Yeah, and if you're sitting in a meeting room with a bunch of people, that's a great strategy, right? Like, I'm going to calm down, collect myself, and then I'm going to bring rationality to the table. But sometimes when you're passionate about something, you care about, this is your partner, this is your marriage, this is your relationship, sometimes going away is the worst thing you can do.
I think sometimes it's really healthy just to have it out.
Just have it out.
And to remember that if I didn't love you so much,
right,
I wouldn't be.
That's right.
So mad at you.
That's
right.
That's right. It's just because you love me.
If I didn't care, it's because I care. Don't you know it's because I love you?
This is for your own good.
You made me do that. Okay, never mind.
Oh, dear. So, like,
no, but I think, you know, within reason, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, there's a healthy and a not healthy way to fight. And, you know, we are certainly not condoning any violent.
Sure.
Unless it's consenting.
Disclaimer. We do take Taekwondo. And we do spar with each other sometimes.
Yes, but mostly only when our sabbanim, our teacher,
right, has instructed us to do so. But
yeah,
we just,
part of the deal is you're not really allowed to practice on other people outside of class.
Right. So we just like, we keep it all
like
inside.
Very low on the,
we just stuff it all ranks down into the depths. Until,
and we save it for Taekwondo.
We just save it for Taekwondo.
Sundays and Wednesdays.
You know.
We had to switch to 2 classes a week,
right,
so that we could just...
We had so much COVID angst, you know, and so, you know, she's like, "Ooh, that sidekick was a little extra today. We want to talk about the dishes," and like that's how we just all get solved there.
We're gonna be breaking plates with our sidekick soon,
like a Rihanna song.
Breaking dishes
up in here.
All right.
Uh huh. Okay. Moving on.
Are we allowed to do that? I think because
we didn't sing it. We didn't.
We're not
sing
gonna
it.
Get sued.
Fine
for all the people that are listening. Okay. Should we move on?
Yeah, I like
to love you fully and completely, to laugh with you and cry with you. I mean, we're doing that.
Right.
Sometimes, like, we're both kind of empaths. We both kind of absorb each other's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be really helpful, but it can also be really hurtful because we go into this, like, what's a good analogy? It's not a seesaw, really. Pendulum. Oh, back and forth of, like, I'm really angsty and sad and I'm talking about it and I need to get it off my chest, which makes him also angsty and sad. And then I'm like going, hey, what's wrong? Why are you so angsty? Get over it. You know? So sometimes like being listening to each other's issues and being willing to hear it and without, I think it's not always helpful to absorb the feeling and embody it yourself.
Right.
Even though the words that we vowed to do were to laugh with you and cry with you, that was not, maybe.
That doesn't mean take on all of the emotional things your partner is going through and take them on to yourself. And now I feel those ways too. You know, it's bearing the load, not letting it crush you both.
Ooh. Bearing the load, not letting it crush you both. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this next paragraph is, I promise to be steadfast in my devotion to you, to be your rock of strength. Speaking of not letting it crush you, mm-hmm. to always love and honor you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that one sort of ties in mm-hmm. to that next one. So.
Oh, to the next one?
I mean, to the one we just read. Yeah, yeah, like that idea of just, you know, what does it mean to be a rock? You can't, it means things are going to be pressing up against you. You mm-hmm. can't allow yourself to be swept out by those things. If you're going to be a rock, you know, you have to be and it's this idea that you have to be that when the other person needs it. If that doesn't mean you're always the rock. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another trap that people get into, is if you feel you're always the rock and you're never the wave, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Then it's become a one-sided thing, and you got to recognize with each other. And it's the thing I did not realize is, like, if all I'm ever doing is being the rock, then I never have a chance to break.
Ooh, you're just full of them today. No, that's really good, though. It's really good, and you have to communicate about those things. Right. And there are sometimes where neither of you feels like the rock, and one of you has to step up.
Right.
And that's sort of what it is. That's what it's all about. I don't know that I knew what that meant. I mean, to be honest, it all sounds great.
It's so great.
you know, to be honest, I don't think I even paid much attention to the words I was saying at the time, because I was like, oh my God.
I'm nervous as heck.
Oh my God, the sun's in my eyes. I'm crying. I hope my hair is still good. I'm crying.
I guess we're still standing at that point, I think.
Our officiant, one of our dear, dear friends, Ivan. He was lovely. He did a good job. We had a very short and sweet ceremony, but it took a while.
He was nervous. We were nervous.
We were nervous. Our guests stayed standing for a little while. Like, we rented chairs for a reason. And so let's not waste that money.
Can you have everyone sit down? And he was like, oh my gosh. It was great. It's the best.
You may now be sitting.
Sitting. Awesome. Okay. What's the next one?
To build a home and family full of love. I paused before family. And to be both freed and bound by our love as long as we both shall live. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have a home. Mm-hmm. I would say we've moved around a lot in 9 years. And everywhere we moved to, we built a home.
Yes. There. No matter
where we were.
Very flexible in our environment. As far as our physical home and our physical space, we've always done a good job of, like, creating that. I think just to quickly summarize, we lived in New York when we got together. We met in undergrad in Greeley, Colorado.
And then we moved to New York with our respective partners at the time, mm-hmm. Respectively broke up,
yep.
respectively and respectfully broke up, yeah. And then we reconnected, and we're kind of instant best friends.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
And like, so, best buds. We went skipping through Central Park together.
Yeah. It was an amazing time.
And I got Nate a job at the restaurant I was working mm-hmm. at, and we were just, like, hanging out a lot. And then it just, like, clicked. Boom. Something clicked.
There it was.
We're not going to talk about our origin story right now entirely, but we'll get into that more. So we lived in New York for a little while.
Yeah, we lived in we lived in the Upper East Side in Manhattan, and then we moved to Queens, and then we moved to Vegas, and then we moved up to Colorado, and then in Colorado,
we moved around a lot till we could afford to. Like, we lived in a lot of basements.
Yeah, a lot of basements.
And took advantage of a lot of theater housing. Yeah, so I was housed for various jobs, and we just kind of, like, take a car full or
we
two
moved
car
like
fulls
something,
of stuff.
What, it was like 17 times in 2 years. It was something insane. Crazy like that. But, so.
Yeah.
We can create a home, and we've done that really well.
We did. We now have a home that we own, mm-hmm. And we have literally built parts of it. We built the floors that we're currently sitting on right now, and we're working on it. We're not the best homeowners in the world, but we're learning.
Yeah.
I always, you know, I grew up I moved around a lot as a kid. So I never really had this idea of a home that was like one house mm-hmm. or one town that you live in for your whole life. So home to me is like, I mean, as cliche as it is, it's where your heart is. And if our hearts are with each other, then we're home.
Yeah. And I grew up in Mesa, Arizona. I went to the same school the entire time, K-12, not the same school, but I was with there were kids I went to school with in kindergarten that I, you know, graduated with. And like we stayed, when I did move in elementary school, we literally moved down the block. Like it was a 5-minute walk from my old house to my new house. So I was used to this idea of sort of staying put and creating, you know, roots or creating a place mm-hmm. where you are based, right? So that was definitely something I think we grappled with a lot early in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think reading that now, I just, if I thought about all the moves we were going to take, you know, both mm-hmm. physical and emotional moves we were going to take, I would have been like, well, let's circle this one and spend some more time on it. Right.
Yeah.
And also with this one, I do want to highlight, there's this one phrase and like one every now and then we'll mm-hmm. read these and we'll both kind of be like, ooh,
yeah.
This will be like, and to be both freed and bound by our love. Ooh.
What does that mean to you?
Then or now?
What did it mean to you then?
I think then what it meant is like that idea that like we are knit together. We are joining forces, right? Mm-hmm. Is what I, in my mind, what that felt to me. Like, and so.
Oh, you thought that. I didn't think anything.
So that we were like joining forces together. And in doing so, that would like free us up to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But together. Thinking about that now, that word bound especially, just, you know, if there's like one word I could go and change in our vows, right? That might be the word, or at least I would think a little more deeply. It does stick out because it's this idea that's like, what does it mean to be bound to somebody? And like, I think in this world we find ourselves in the environment and how perceptions of relationships are changing and all of these things, like, no, I shouldn't be bound to you. You know, in that sort of, mm-hmm. you know, but it's this idea of being.
It's not a ball and chain situation.
Right.
Let's just be clear.
And I don't like that idea that's like, oh, we're somehow like tied together and we just can't break. If anything, like, I don't know, like we're bungee corded together. Like if you have the space to stretch out, that the tension of being apart will bring you back together. And the force that brings you back together will be stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Love is like a boomerang, right? I should be able to throw it and let that boomerang go, knowing that it's going to come back to me and I don't have to be tied to it all the time. Right. And you know, and what's freeing about love is that idea that I can walk my own path, knowing that there's somebody who's walking along, if not the same path, like a different part of the path, or a different, you know, I'm on the low road, you're on the high road, you know, or vice versa. We're going
on the high road.
Different, we're always taking the high road. Yes,
just for the record,
always. But like we're taking these different routes to get to the same place. We've agreed where we're trying to go.
Yeah,
but my route might be very different.
Going together.
Yeah, and we might meet. We might go down some Y's in the path, right? And
I might be roller skating.
You might be roller skating. You know, I might be using sled dogs. Who knows?
You know.
But we come back at some point on that part of the path. So I don't know. I think that idea is just a little different to me now.
What it means to me now, and I can't tell you what it meant to me then. I really was like, yeah, good. We're bound together. We're married now. Check. But the idea, and then I started to think, well, lately, right, or at least a few years into the marriage, that particular phrase became offensive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I started to feel uncomfortable with it. I felt defensive because I was I felt assaulted by the word bound together because I don't want it to feel like it's not a choice. And it's one thing I've learned a lot is that marriage is a choice. A partnership is a choice, a long-term partnership. Every relationship is a choice. I just go back to complacency. It's not passive. Mm-hmm. It's active. And it was, I think it was like our wedding day or the day before. I think it was our wedding day. We were talking with my dad and my stepmother, Claire. And she just said, it's just, it's a wonderful thing. It's hard, but you do it every day. Every day, love. Every day, love.
Every day, love.
We've recited that. It's like every day, comma, love. Mm-hmm. It's no matter what.
Right.
You do it. And you do it.
Right.
You don't let it happen. You actively choose love every day. And when when I look at this phrase, I'm so sorry.
No, it's great.
When I look at this phrase, to be both freed and bound by our love, I think, well, why is bound the second thing? Why is the bad thing second? But what I realize, and if I interpret it this way, it makes sense to me, to be both freed and bound is the freedom to choose togetherness.
Every day.
Every day.
Right. And that every day is a choice. And the fact, if you recognize and know, both of you know that every day is a choice, you are freed by that. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly you're looking across at that other person and saying, I see that that person today at least, the next hour at least, is choosing this here now with me. Mm-hmm. And that's freeing because tomorrow that could be different. Based on the choices, the things I say, the actions I take, the thoughtfulness or carelessness that I approach things, that could all change tomorrow. And some people that thing feels terrifying. It used to feel terrifying to me. That was like the most terrifying idea in the world.
It's like the Stoics view of marriage.
And now I just love that idea. It's just like, oh, today it's happening and it might not be happening tomorrow. And I have 20 things I can bring to the table to bind us together so that tomorrow when we have the freedom to choose, that's a choice we can make with honesty and it's a choice we can make with clear eyes at the other about why that choice is happening today.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And also I will say, to encapsulate maybe, that idea is that you don't have to choose to be with this person for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to choose to love this person for the rest of your life. You just have to choose that today.
Right.
And then tomorrow you can choose it as well. And as long as it keeps being worth it.
Right.
Then exactly. You do it.
Yeah.
And it's the freedom to choose that.
Right.
We are lucky in that we were not in an arranged marriage. We, we did not have to get, we did not have families that pressured us to get married. If anything, my family was like, oh, don't get married yet. Just wait till you're 30. We did anyway. We could choose that. We had the privilege of choosing our partner and choosing to express our love in this way.
Right.
And we continue to do so. And we are grateful and very happy to be able to, very grateful to make that choice.
Absolutely.
Every single day.
Every day love.
Every day love. So then we get into Walt Whitman. I give you my hand. I give you my love, more precious than money. I give you myself before preaching or law. I mean, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Is that pretty straightforward?
Yeah. I mean, leave it to, one of the best poets in history say something kind of succinct that just makes sense and we don't have to riff on it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty,
turns out.
Pretty wedding-y too.
It is very wedding-y.
So that was a good, that's why we picked it. But also we had a longer reading excerpt from this read by a good friend, Dave Dahl. And the Song of the Open Road is this just beautiful epic poem about adventure, and that it's not always butterflies and rainbows, and there's struggle, and there's strife, and there's fighting, and there's
strangers, and there's danger, and there's stranger danger, and people are offering you candy
in vans.
You don't get in that car.
No, don't get in the van.
No.
Or the car.
You get a. You call an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
You get back in that four-wheeler.
You get back on that toboggan.
You get back on those roller skates.
Horse. Tally-ho.
But this idea that we are embarking on an adventure together. An epic journey.
Absolutely.
That includes all of the things that an epic journey would include.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all fun.
And thank goodness it's not.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. It'd be so boring.
It'd be so boring.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some struggle. There's some hardships. There's misunderstanding. There's betrayal. There's, I mean, all the good juicy stuff that you
I don't remember
want to watch on TV.
Famous Russian it was. It's Nietzsche or Dostoevsky, one of those dudes. But they're basically, his idea was, you know, if we created utopia, that we destroy it in a matter of minutes just mm-hmm. because we want something to do.
Yeah.
And I always like try to keep that in mind is like the chaos.
You have to have it.
You have to have it. If there's not a little chaos going on in your marriage, you know, mm-hmm. What's happening? Because you're definitely not growing. You're definitely not changing. You're definitely not moving. You're just staying put. So mm-hmm. a little chaos is good. You know, a little balance. A moose boosh of chaos, right? With a mane.
A moose boosh in French is to amuse your mouth.
Right. I just want a little chaos to amuse my mouth. That's all I want.
To amuse my boosh.
To amuse my boosh. Great. Awesome.
This last little chunk is just three questions, which I love. It's so awkward to end vows with questions.
It is, because we didn't answer in the affirmative.
We never did.
We didn't.
We never have.
It's a hanging, We have. It's a hanging question.
But I love it. I love that it ends with a question because it's always asking you and your partner to come to this moment
mm-hmm.
with an answer.
Yeah. And like every year we read this, there's parts we like smirk about. There's mm-hmm. parts we kind of like go, about. There's parts that we just kind of like shake our head like, talk about that. Every time we read these, it elicits like a different response based on like what's been going on, what the year was like, what our, not just the year, but the whole 9 years, what that's been. And then you're right. Like we bring it back to these three questions.
Right. And all of that.
And every year we have the chance.
And the choice.
To be freed or bound.
Hey.
By our love.
Yeah.
And so, will you give me yourself is the first one.
Yes.
Yes.
for the record. Yes. It's recorded now.
Will you come travel with me?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, someday.
Someday we'll travel
when
again.
When this quarantine lifts.
But look, we'll travel. We traveled to the backyard. We had a camping adventure anniversary.
I forgot.
We didn't talk about
that. To tell you, we celebrated our anniversary by having a giant camp out in our backyard.
It was amazing.
We ate a lot of red vines.
And yeah.
We ordered,
among other things,
a bunch of burgers and food. We had a lot of drinks and
s'mores.
We had a fire. It was
awesome. We set our vows over the fire.
Over the fire. Yep. And then, we threw pine cones at each other.
Oh, like, so great.
Oh, it was amazing.
We watched Succession in the tent.
Yeah, we did. Shout out to Succession.
Love that show,
mm-hmm.
y'all.
And then the third question is, shall we stick by each other as long as we live?
Yes. Yeah. I choose yes.
Yeah. And we'll revisit
today.
We'll revisit next year.
Next year.
That's what it means. So,
those
are our vows.
Those are our vows. So, okay. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
We
didn't talk about this. It's not in our show.
Okay.
Notes.
We're both really amazing improv actors.
Oh, okay.
That is not true. Nate's a really great improv person. I am not. So this is me being really vulnerable right now.
Okay.
If you could if you could rewrite the vows off the top of your head after 9 years,
okay,
what would you do? What would you just say?
What would I just
say? What would you just say?
So if we were getting like remarried today, or if we were going back 9 years knowing what we know now, we're getting married on that day.
Okay, the second one.
The second one. Dang it, I should have said the first one. Okay.
No, do the first one and then we can talk about the past.
No, this is great. Okay, I'm sorry. So if we were going back 9 years and I'm standing up in front of you and like, these are the vows that I promised to say. Okay, I would, can I use our vows as a reference?
No.
Dang it. Okay. Great. All right. So I would just say at the time, I would say, Emily, I promise that throughout our marriage, I will always come to the table respecting your mind, respecting your thoughts, and that my thoughts will be and my mind will be a way for us to come to greater understanding together, both for our mutual good and for the good of you as an individual. I would say that this is making me so nervous. I would say
no pressure. It could literally be anything at all.
I would say that I will be open to your experiences and that I will always take your experiences into account when we are going through difficult times and when we are making decisions with each other. And I will inspire you through my actions, not only my words. I will inspire you by pointing out to you your courageous actions. And I will be a rock for you, knowing that when the time is right, you will be a rock for me. And I am excited to be on this path with you, and that while we might go down different parts of the path on this journey, I always will look forward to seeing your face on the trail again. That's what I'll say. Okay.
Too good. I can't do it.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, right? Terrible. Nope.
That was really good. Now I have to follow it because I did it to you. I have to do it to myself.
That's true.
We never did this. We never said our own words.
I don't think we did. No, we haven't.
I really like it though, because I think early on in our relationship, we had to say the same words and think the same thoughts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody says, oh, you found your soulmate and now you're like together as one. Well, that's bullshit. I'm here to tell you, you're not one person.
It is malarkey and baloney.
Okay. Well, I say it's horseshit. So you're not one person. You're not one mind. You're not one soul. You're not one heart. Sorry, Leonard Bernstein, but you ain't. You're two people with very different minds and very different backgrounds and very different hearts and very different priorities. So I guess what I would say is, Nathan Jones, I choose you. I choose you today and every day. I recognize that some days will be easy and some days will be hard to make that choice. But I will make that choice and I will actively commit to it. I will take more time to listen, not only to the words that are being said to me, but the intent in which they're being said. I will try my best, my very best, to listen to myself and my heart and not let my ideas of what I should feel or should think or how I should behave get in the way of my truth. Because if I can't bring my truth to you, to our relationship, if I can't bring my truth to myself and be honest with myself about where I am, I can't begin to bring anything to the relationship. So I promise to listen better to your intents, to your heart, and at the same time, voice my intent and my heart honestly, with so much love and without apology. I see you. I love you. I'm having the best adventure with you.
Yes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I got. I don't know if that covered our last point.
I think it did.
Our last point was just if you could go back and tell yourself something.
I think that's way better. Just say it. Just say it how you would say it. Now, I love it. Awesome. So I think that's pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of that covers what we wanted to talk about for episode one of Twice as Less Not Perfect.
Twice as Less Not Perfect.
The partnership podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Nathan Jones and Emily Van Fleet.
Our next episode is going to be all about how we've had to adjust and things that have changed. Everyone we know, you know, is going through this COVID thing right now. And so we're going to have an episode all about, you know, things we've noticed, things we've changed, habits that have happened and had to be, you know, conversations that have been challenging around COVID. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have an episode about best and worst. So it's just going to be, you know, the sort of...
It's the what are your three strengths and weaknesses part of the job interview, right. Except it's about marriage.
Exactly. So like I care too much, obviously. It'll be that episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, better than that. Better
more,
than a terrible job.
Twice as less, more it'll better.
Be twice as less, more better.
Yeah, that's so far what we have on the docket. Who knows? That might change.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
But thank
we're winging
you
it.
So much for joining us for the first episode of Twice as Less Not Perfect.
Thanks. Tell your friends.
Yeah. And subscribe anywhere you subscribe to things and listen to them.
To the podcast things.
And if
things.
You...
to the ear stories.
Yeah, to the ear stories. To your word sounds.
To the... to the pod goblins.
Pod goblins.
Yeah. What else? Anything else?
We are going to make a sacrifice to the pod goblins. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Twice as Less Not Perfect.
Want to hear more about what it takes to have a messy marriage? Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And share us with your friends and family.
You can follow us on all the socials. Find us on Facebook at Messy Marriage Podcast.
And Instagram at A Messy Marriage Podcast.
Have a question or an idea for an episode? Email us at lessnotperfect@gmail.com.
And remember, when it comes to marriage,
mess is more.